Ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Yes. Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. Verse I want to start out with this morning is Romans 5:8. As I was reading here about a month and a half ago now, I was reading through the scriptures, and a phrase just jumped out at me. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to introduce it this way. The phrase jumped out to me, the message of the cross. So we're starting a series this morning talking about the message of the cross. And the first verse I want to get to is Romans 5:8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Now, if Jesus wouldn't have died, nothing would have happened. If Jesus hadn't have gone to the cross, nothing would have changed. Things would just continue as normal and as usual, and it'd be the same. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 48. And we need to understand that Jesus taught about the cross. Now, I know this is after the resurrection, but I use this to just point out some things. But Jesus taught his disciples, in Mark, three times he told the disciples, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be beaten, and after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. He even warned Peter. He says, you're all going to leave me for a while, but when I return, you'll come back. So Jesus talked about the cross, talked about all these things, but here in Luke 24, we find that Jesus is talking more about the cross to the disciples. In verse 44, he says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things written must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now we need our understanding opened, amen? How many of you have ever read scripture and after you read it say, I don't understand any of it? That's because you need heavenly wisdom. You need understanding on these things. It doesn't mean you're dumb, but only God can reveal scripture to us. And so he does that. So he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. He said, what scripture foretold, what the scripture wrote about my death and my resurrection, you guys have seen this. You know what it's talking about. Now you can have understanding of it. But even at this time, they're still going kind of duh. Now that's why they call them disciples. Because when Jesus would talk to them, they looked at him just like we do sometimes and go, duh, I don't get that. I don't understand that. So go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. And this is a scripture that literally just jumped off the page at me. And I feel like we need to pursue this. But 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You know, Jesus said that no greater love has any man than to lay down his life for another. And it's kind of fitting, I was thinking about this morning, it's kind of fitting that this is on Memorial Day weekend that we're beginning to talk about the cross. Because we're celebrating and remembering the people that have fought and died for this country. It's Memorial Day. We're not just celebrating the victory. We're not just celebrating the soldiers, but specifically, we're fighting the people that died for this country. We're remembering them. We're remembering them, that they gave their ultimate. And they gave it for a dream. They gave it for a hope. They gave it. Some of them probably didn't even really know what they were fighting for other than it was their country. And I was thinking about this morning during the battle hymn of and this is so weird sometimes, but stay with me on this. The South believed that God was on their side. And the North believed God was on their side. And so they're believing the truth is marching on, we're going to overcome and all this. Well, all they did was delay. They were both praying, both sides were praying the same thing, but because some were resisting the will of God, meaning the South, because they were resisting that all men are created in the image of God, that all men ought to have liberty, because they were denying that, they were actually fighting against the will of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand it. But because they resisted that, hundreds of thousands of people died. Cities were burned, destroyed, because they resisted the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God answered their prayer. Every high place will be pulled down. Every stronghold will be demolished. I mean, God got to that, but he had to do it a hard way. If the South just would have said, you know, you're right. The Bible says all men are created in the image of God. And we're going to set people free because that's what God would do. We're going to recognize the sovereignty of human beings, and there wouldn't have been any war. And strongholds would have been pulled down. High places would have been demolished. The same thing would have happened, but it happened so much harder. And I thought, that's how it is in our own life. We're wanting the will of God, but we're fighting it at the same time. And we say, well, God, why are you taking so long to get me finished? Why is it working so hard? It's because we're resisting the move of God. We're wanting to do it our way instead of God's way. Listen, the message of the cross, God is showing us how to rise up. The message of the cross is not just Jesus crucified and died and was raised from the dead in 3 days. That's all part of it. But the message of the cross is much deeper than that, and we don't really think about it. The phrase is only used here in the Bible, and yet the cross is crucial to everything that we understand about Jesus, everything we understand about the scripture. It comes down to the cross. Jumping ahead to 1 Corinthians 1:23, it says, we preach Christ crucified. Excuse me. We preach Christ crucified. This was a center of what Paul taught, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, again, in 1:18, he said this message, or the Greek word is logos, which means the written word. But this message, this word of the cross, see, Jesus is the word of God brought into the earth. And translators in different Bibles, they use the message or the word of cross. But we need to understand this message of the cross, this word of the cross, is the core of Christianity. And that's what I want to get across to you today. This is the core of what Christianity is all about. Everything centers on the cross. All the past history points to it. All the future, or all the history now, points back to it. All of our dreams, our hopes, our visions, our goals are founded in Jesus Christ, but it comes through the cross. Now, this is so crucial because we need to understand what Paul is giving to us. And I'll say it succinctly like this. The cross shows us that the way up is down. The way to get ahead in life is to not just try to do everything the way you want it done. The way up is down. Now, that makes no sense in the world. It's contrary to everything that the world teaches us, and yet it is the core of Christianity. It is the core of what Jesus is showing us on the cross. The world that we are accustomed to is upside down when it's compared with God. Most of the things that you've been taught in the world, God totally turns upside down, or right side up, whichever way you want to look at it. And so that's why we're so confused, because the world says, do this, do this, do this, do this. Push, 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 push. Yell, scream, be loud, beat people into submission. Do. And Jesus says, no, the way of the cross. He uttered not a word. Let me go to Philippians chapter 2. Because see, to the world, the cross is humiliation. The cross is the sentence of a loser. You don't win and go to the cross. That's not the crown that they give you when you succeed, when you overcome. They don't say, oh, here's the cross. We're going to nail you to it now. And the world just looks at, well, that's for losers. And a lot of places they look at Jesus being hung on a cross as, this is a losing proposition. And for most people, they don't understand that in order to come to Christ, you've got to die to self. And I keep telling people, being a Christian is the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is die. Dying's the hard part. Dying is what takes us so long. And we got to die to this, die to that, die to this, all the other. But the way down is up. Once you're dead, now you can experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Behold, all things are now new. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are now new. It's like, but if old things don't pass away, you can't get the new. And we're trying to hold on to the old thinking, the old way of living. We're trying to keep the old patterns, but we want a new life. We want a new outcome. Well, the only way you get a new outcome is the old man has to die. Paul said, I buffet my body daily. And we read that, I buffet my body. I just prefer my body. I just go to every banquet table I can, every free food I can, every pleasure I have. I'm just going to that. No, he didn't say buffet. It's buffet. You got to buffet your body. You got to take charge over the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. You got to take charge over those things and crucify those things so God can give you real enjoyment and real peace. He said, well, Gordon, that doesn't make any sense at all. Not according to the world. That's why Christianity is so hard. Why do I have to die to have life? Because until you die, you can't have life. Until you let go, you can't receive. When Arne, I was in a meeting with him. He was a church growth expert about 30 years ago. And he said his kids, they decided they were going to have a circus for their youth event. And they wanted him to do the trapeze jump. So he got out there and he said, I'm on the trapeze and I'm swinging out. And they swung another trapeze toward him. And the goal was to leap from one to the other. He said, halfway out, he realized because they don't come together, the only way I can reach the second trapeze is I've got to let go of the first. And if I don't let go of the first, all I'm going to do is swing back and I'm going to get slower and slower until I have to drop into the net. So he had to let go of the first to reach out and swing toward the other to grab hold of it so he could get to the other side. That's kind of like death and resurrection. Because there for a while, you are free flying. And you got to keep your eye on Jesus to catch, to get to the other side. Amen. Found Philippians 2, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now understand, he's equal with God. He knows he's God. He's equal with God. Jesus could do anything he wanted. Anything. Anything. No limits. He could turn stones into bread. He could jump off of a church steeple and not hurt himself. I mean, think about this. We say, well, I heard that he could walk on water. Yeah, but he could do all that other stuff too. But he didn't. You don't hear any stories. Now he turned multiplied loaves and fishes to feed the multitude, because the disciples were so hard-hearted they were going to send him home to eat. Wouldn't that be a church social? Wow, heavenly food, manna. But he only did that a couple times. It wasn't a regular way of doing things, but yet Jesus had the power and the ability to do anything he wanted. And verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he laid all that aside. He says, I could come as God. I could impress you. I could do all kinds of wonderful things. He said, that's not what I'm here. I'm not here to impress you about the power that God has. Because if you're a believer, you should already know that. Hello. Missed a good time to shout there. As a believer, you ought to know nothing is impossible for God. The Bible says nothing is impossible for him who believes. Wow, what does that mean? It means in Christ you have the same abilities as God has. But Jesus, it says, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. A bondservant is a special word. A bondservant doesn't mean just a servant. It means a servant who has been given his freedom and has chosen to remain in slavery because he loves his master so much. Has chosen to give up his freedom to continually serve his master. Some people say, well, I've got to serve Jesus. No, I get to. See, if you think serving God is hard, then you're still a servant. You're not a bondservant. And you still don't understand the way up is down. You still don't get it. You still don't understand. He says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, the crucifixion. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now see, Jesus knew something. For Christ, the cross was a sign of submission to someone higher than himself. The cross was a way of yielding himself to God. And this is so important because when we look at the cross, we see it as suffering when Christ saw it as yielding to God. See, when your flesh is crucified, it hurts. Because you love that food. You love that activity. You love that sin. You love doing those things. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. You know, when I was in college, all my roommates were on drugs. I had a heroin addict. He was on the LSD. All my friends were doing marijuana, all but one. And the drugs were freely available to me, and I was never tempted. Now, that's the grace of God. But I never thought, gee, let me have a needle too. I want to shoot up. I had a fear of needles. That's when I began to realize this is a God-given fear. I've overcome that now, but I'm still not doing drugs. But it's like there's certain things that God limited those things. Well, it was his grace in his life. But, you know, if I would have started doing drugs, I probably would have liked it. And so God protected me. See, you do what you want to do. I didn't want to do drugs, so I didn't do it. No one could talk me into doing drugs because I had no interest in it. Just no desire for it at all. But if I would have, I would have been drawn right into it. See, the lust of the flesh will draw you into sin. And to crucify that lust, oh, I really want that. I have had for the last 2 months just a hunger for ice cream. I have wanted ice cream so bad. And I've broken down twice and gotten ice cream. But I could eat it every single day. I mean, it's just right there. It's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Oh, I want to. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. It's like I'm having to, for 2 months, I've been working trying to kill that lust. And I still have a desire for ice cream. But it's like, No. I was out the other day, and I thought, I could stop by and pick up some ice cream, and I'll get two cones, one for me and one for Debbie. Of course, she wouldn't eat the ice cream, but I could have two cones for me. Because I'd get home, here, hon. She'd go, I don't want that. Oh, good. Be all for me. But it's like you've got it hurts to put down those things. It hurts to put down the things that we're comfortable with. Amen. It doesn't feel good. Well, Christ died as a servant, as a bondservant. He offered himself and became obedient even to death, the death on the cross. See, this is a question that it begins to raise. We'll get into this a little bit more next week, but God's cannot die. God's cannot suffer. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Jesus chose that, to go through that. You can't kill God. But yet he died. And he went to hell. He cried out on the cross, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He felt what every person would feel when God withdraws his presence. And he felt that hopelessness. And yet, he chose to go through it. So the Father, not Jesus. Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead because he had suffered the full penalty for you and for me. And because Jesus was willing to suffer, because he was willing to die on the cross, he was exalted to where every knee in heaven and on earth and beneath the earth will bow, and every tongue will confess he is Lord. He never would have had that without the cross. Without being willing to be crucified, that never would have happened. It would just keep on continuing. See, this is the very reason that God highly exalted him. It was through submission that Jesus was exalted. The way up is down. It doesn't make sense in the world. Why didn't Jesus just come and say, hey guys, I'm God, bow. And the ones that didn't, fry them. I mean, you see a couple of people fried, I'd bow. You know, I just hope I'm not number one on the list. You know, but it's like, but if he could have, think about it, he could have come down, I am, just like in the movies, I am God, I am Iron Man, bow to me, listen to me, I will burn you, I've got all these laser tips and those little mini rockets, I can take you all out of here. And say, Jesus didn't do that, but he came as a servant. He humbled himself, even to the point of, Lord, if it costs me my life, I'm willing to lay it down. And because of that, he was exalted. See, the cross is the method that God chose to save us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, the way up is down. Not of works. Man's concept of salvation is I'll prove myself to be worthy. I'll prove myself that I'm worth doing this. And God says, but that's as filthy rags. Now, I'm not trying to be gross to you, but this is what the Bible means by filthy rags. When a woman has a menstrual cycle, she would wrap herself in rags. They didn't have tampons. They didn't have all this self-absorbent stuff. And they would wrap their legs with rags, and the blood would flow. And that's what the Bible talks about as filthy rags. You can't stop it. There's nothing you can do. You just have to endure it. And this is what it means. But see, it's not this grace, this salvation is through faith by grace, or by grace through faith. You've got to believe in the grace of God. You've got to believe in the cross. You've got to believe that Jesus suffered and died in our place. You've got to believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day. You've got to believe that he ascended into heaven. And to the world, they just get hung up on the cross. Well, it doesn't make any sense that he had to die, because we're all basically good, right? That's what the world believes. We're all basically good. You know, the world has turned Christianity around to where God sends bad people to hell. No, the truth is you're already going. Jesus came to keep you from ending up there. He came to save us, not to condemn us. But the world and religion say, well, if you're bad, if you're evil, God's going to send you to hell. Listen, you already got a trip, one-way ticket, and it's to hell. Jesus canceled the ticket, and he gave you a ticket to heaven, a ticket to life, hallelujah. At the cross, Jesus was made to be sin with our sin. He erased the handwriting on the note that was written against us. He lifted the curse. And through Jesus, we have access to the Father, direct access to the throne of heaven, to be able to talk to God. I know the TV says, you know, it's okay to talk to God, but if God talks back, you're crazy. That ought to be a normal way of living for us, to hear the voice of our Father. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Know the voice of their Father. This ought to be normal for us to hear God. This shouldn't be a spooky thing. And yet you hear charismatics say, ooh, God speaks to me. Well, he speaks to sinners too. They don't hear, but he talks to them. He's talking to some of these TV radio personalities. They don't know it's him. They just think it's this wacky voice. Why? Because they stumble at the cross. They don't know how to handle the cross. They don't understand that it's through the crucifixion that comes the power of resurrection. Go to 1 Corinthians, still in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 1, 18. I want to read this section to you. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To those who are perishing. Foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. This is why the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. They are seeking salvation by the means of signs or wisdom. They want to see something before I believe. They want to have understanding of this before they believe. No, you've got to believe before the sign. You've got to believe before the wisdom and the understanding comes. You've got to believe that in what God has done. See, the cross is Christ giving himself as a sacrifice for the Father and for us. Until you can begin to understand that, that cross is foolishness. Until you begin to understand that Jesus, through obedience, received the resurrection. Until you understand that, the cross is just foolishness. Well, why did he have to do that? Why did he have to suffer? And what we're saying is, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to die to anything? Like I said, we want to do the old things, but we want to get different results. It won't happen. You've got to let go of the old. You've got to grab hold of the new. That's why so many Christians are stuck, because we haven't let go of the old. And we want something new to happen, but we're hanging on to the old way of living, holding on to the wrong attitudes, the wrong way of living, and nothing changes. And we say, well, where's God? Well, God's where he always is. He's calling us to himself. But in order to come, you've got to open the door and walk through. The cross expresses submission, a yielding to one other than you. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing because they live for themselves. But the cross is the power or the dunamis of God to those who are being saved. Because through the cross, God's power over death and his grace is shown toward us. Think about that. In the cross, God's power over death has been shown. Death couldn't hold him. I mean, the most powerful enemy we face in this world is death. You can either die a slow death or you can die a quick death, but it's death. We're all fighting against death. Scientists are trying to find a way. Scientists have come out and said they think they have found a way to have every person live to be 1,000 years old. And I'm thinking, the way this world is, why would I want to live 1,000 years? With all the sin, with all the corruption. And at the same time, they are adamant about killing babies. So who's going to get to live old? The Harvey Weinsteins? The liars, the people that have the money that can buy it. But do you think it's going to be for other people? Uh-uh. This is going to be an elitist thing because they are so smart. They have so much wisdom. They know how to fix everything, but yet they can't fix anything. They're trying all this stuff, and it's just not working. But see, the cross is the dunamis power of God to those who are being saved. Not only does it show God's power over death, but it shows his grace toward us. Oh, his mercy toward us. Oh, hallelujah. And see, a lot of people in the world, I don't need mercy. I've got my strength. I've got my natural abilities. I've got this. I've got that. And it's like, no, you need grace. Pride of life is a sin that man has to face. The pride, and pride is simply lifting yourself up over God. It's just believing in yourself more than what you believe in God. Let me give you some verses. 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, God uses the cross to destroy the wisdom of the wise. Well, what works can guarantee a man's salvation? By what works can a man come to know God? What can you do that God would say, hi, you're pretty impressive. I think I'd like you to know me. But he comes to the foolish. He comes to the outcast. He comes to those who are scorned. He comes to the poor. He comes to the weak. Why? Because we know we can't do anything of our own self. We know we've reached the end of our rope. But boy, if you're successful, it's really hard to come to God because you've got to lay it all down. You've got to be willing to walk away from it all. You may not have to, but you've got to be willing to before God can really move in your life. See, we can only know God as he chooses to reveal himself. And he chooses to reveal himself to the meek, to the humble, to those who are willing to yield themselves to God. The more you yield, the more God's willing to reveal himself. The more God's willing to give you the true riches in heaven, because you're not so built up in yourself. It's like every gift you have, every endowment you have comes from the Father of lights from above. It comes down from heaven. And when we begin to acknowledge that, he can increase the light because he knows you're going to give him the credit for it. You're not going to be lifting yourself up against him. Go to Matthew 11:27. It says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Jesus is saying, you can't know God. You can't know the Father unless I reveal him to you. Well, how does he reveal himself to us? We have had all kinds of religions, all kinds of different things going on in the earth, and still have, but the problem is they don't deal with the cross. The Muslims mock the cross because how could God die? How could God become flesh? I mean, they just can't believe it. In Hinduism and Buddhism, they don't believe that God becomes flesh. We are working our way through sin to get to that point of where we can just somehow, they don't even know how, somehow we can get rid of all of our bad karma and just go over to the other side and transcend. And even then, they believe like you become the rings around Saturn. Well, that's what I'm striving for. I want to be a ring around Saturn. I want to be a piece of galactic junk just floating through space. Yeah, man, that's my vision of eternity. See, they say, well, you have a God consciousness. Well, then, if I have a God consciousness, why do I have to be a rock around Saturn? But see, Jesus, through the cross, says, you can know God. Now, that blows people's minds because they've already built it into, you can't know who God is. Jesus said, I came to reveal him. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, how do we see the Father? Through Jesus Christ. You have to go to the cross. You have to go that God is so awesome of a person that you're willing to yield yourself to him. And whatever he would ask of you, that I'm willing to do. And because you're willing to do whatever he asks you to do. It's like Abraham. Abraham went up and he says, I want you to sacrifice your son. Well, back then, that wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, people were offering their kids up for sacrifice all the time. We've got, even in Jesus' day, we have cemeteries full of child sacrifice. To Moloch is the one in the Bible that they sacrificed to. And families, when the weather was bad and their crops were failing, hey, go sacrifice a kid. Well, which one is it? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You just pick one out and go kill him. But Abraham had a different relationship with God. God had given him a promise. He said, this child of yours, I'm going to make the heir of who I am, and the Messiah is going to come through him. And then after Isaac, the estimates are between 12 and 21. But as Isaac grew up, God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. He goes, okay. And listen to the faith of the man. He told his servants when they went up to the mountain, we will come back. I mean, that is awesome. You're going to sacrifice your kid. No, we're going to come back. And that was a type of the Christ. See, Abraham, I believe, saw the cross and he saw the resurrection. And he thought, if God can resurrect his son, and my son's the son of promise, my son's, quote, the anointed one, my son has that anointing on him because God told me he did. If God's going to raise his son, he'll raise my son too. So whatever I give up to God, he's going to give me back. We are coming down off the mountain. You wait for us here. We are coming back. And he believed it. We say, God asked me to do what? Man, there's no way we're coming down from here. I'm going to be a case for a year. It's going to be horrible. What am I going to tell my wife when I get home? How's the son doing? Well, you know, things happen. You know, how do you explain that? This is your only child. This is the love of your life. This is the promised child of God. You know, this is, he said this to you. Now, first thing, did your God lie? You thought you heard from God? Oh, yeah, God promised you a son. Now God's taking the son from you. Can you imagine how the disciples felt? This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. He's going to establish a kingdom of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. What do you mean he's going to the cross? What do you mean he's going to die? Peter, No way. We're going to put a stop to this. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Said, you're not talking about anything you know about. See, because Jesus knew if he gives it all, God's going to reward him and God will bring him back. He trusted in the Father. And he did. Oh, hallelujah. This is getting good. This is getting good. See, you've got to go to, if you want a revelation of God, his grace, his love, you've got to go to the cross. John 14:6 says that Jesus, and this is why Jesus could say, with all that I said, this is why Jesus could tell the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Unless you come through the cross, you're not going to know God. Unless you understand this message of the cross, you cannot know God. Oh, God's good. God's fluff. God's wonderful. Oh, God will give me anything I want. Yeah, but you've got to give your life. Lord, I don't want to give my life. Well, then you don't want to be a Christian because you don't want the resurrection. What you're going to do is you're going to do everything by your own strength, by your own ability, and ask God to bless it because you really don't trust God. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. You really don't trust God to raise you from the dead. Oh, Lord, I'm struggling with this issue in my life. God, I don't know if you're strong enough to help me overcome it. He raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I love this. How did God, the Father, raise Jesus from the dead? By his glory. Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says, by the glory of the Father. And he uses that in reference to that when you got born again, you were born again by the glory of God, the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. And you're telling me God can't help you in your spot? See, we believe, we say we believe in God, we want to believe in God, but we believe in our own self more than we believe in God. And we want to do it our way and hope, pray, and wish God will bless us in what we do. And he can only bless you if you're obedient to him. See, the way up is down. It makes no sense to the world. It makes no sense to religion because we've got to do something. We've got to get God to move on our behalf. And remember the scripture talks about they cut themselves and they wail and they cry and they make this great big scene. Oh God, you know. And I think about Elijah at the temple of Baal and they're cutting themselves all day long. Oh God, do this. And I love Elijah. This is what the literal Hebrew says. Did your God have to go to the bathroom that he can't hear you? Is he locked up in the toilet so that he can't come and help you? That's what the literal Hebrew says. Probably not that clean. Because I want you to think about that. And so when they get all done, they say, okay, Elijah, you take a shot at it because we couldn't get any response. He says, put water on the altar on the wood. Okay, put more water on the altar on the wood. Yeah, maybe a third time. Yeah, go ahead. You know, he goes and Father, thank you for your glory. Whoosh! The fire came down from heaven and lit the firewood and burned it all up. You burned the altar and there must have been oil in the water. Yeah, they didn't know that back then. They were stupid. No, you're the stupid one that you don't believe in the power of God. Say, I don't know if God can do this. Well, then you don't believe in the cross. You don't believe in the resurrection. Do you see how these things are beginning to fit? You've got to believe that God is able to do what you can't. Therefore, when you get to that point, you finally say, well, God, I can't do this. Help me. And guess what? He will. He's just looking for a cry. In Revelation, it talks about there's a half hour of silence in heaven. Before everything's all done, before everything's consummated, there's a half hour of silence in heaven. And I asked him, why? What is the half hour for? And this is what was impressed in my spirit, that if there was one person to cry out to God for salvation, he wouldn't miss the cry. That's how hungry God is for you, to meet with you and to talk with you and to share with you. And it comes through the message of the cross. It comes from yielding everything to God so that we can hear Him and, Lord, have His way done in us. And He will cause you to be blessed, and He will cause you to prosper. He will give you wisdom, the mind of Christ. He will give you whatever His assignment is. He will give that what to you what is required to accomplish the assignment. Why? Because He's God. And we're just saying, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in me. Amen. Isn't this getting good? See, in order to understand the resurrection, we must understand the cross, because the cross comes before the resurrection. We want the resurrection without the cross. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. Now, it doesn't mean that the just shall live by hopeful thinking or by a positive mental attitude. But I think what he's trying to get across to us is that the just shall live by faith in the God who has overcome the conditions of sin and death. He is bigger than my life. He is bigger than what I see. He is bigger than what I experience. He is larger than all these things, and he knows about all of them. And guess what? He's not worried. God is not worried. Years ago, I heard stories about all the pastors that stay up late at night, and they worry and they fret and they pace and they can't sleep, and so many pastors have ulcers and so many pastors have this. And you know, I read in the Bible one place that God never sleeps and never slumbers. And I told God, well, Lord, if you're going to be up all night, I'm going to get a good night's rest. Because see, what good does it do for both of us to be up all night? God never sleeps. I need sleep. If I don't sleep, I get grouchy. I get testy. I get groggy. You know, I drift off because I haven't had enough sleep yet. My body's not rested. But why should I put myself through that when God's got it? God knows what's going on. And I'll tell you what, if you won't listen to God, you won't listen to me. Oh, oh. Remember what the people told Moses? Oh, Moses, we'll do anything you tell us. Well, that lasted about 5 minutes. All Moses had to do was say, you know, I want you to pick up your tent, and I want you to pitch it over here. You want what? Who do you think you are? Even Aaron and Miriam came to Moses. Who do you think? Moses, you're just taking too much of this on yourself. Who do you think you are anyway? And Moses is probably just because Moses was a humble man, you know, wanting to do the will of God. And I'm sure he's standing there looking at his brother and sister. I could fry you guys for this. And he's probably just thinking, Lord, how do I respond? And he says, you tell them to do this. And they did it. Leprosy. He said, okay, tell them to put it back. He proved what God did. He proved who God is and who they are. And they came out of that meeting, Moses, you're the man of God. You're the man of God. We will never cross you again. Never cross you again. But God intervened in that because revelation comes from God. Amen. Okay. This cross is foolishness. We are taught to live by our natural abilities, by forming the right allies, having the right friends, and doing good works. But to people that are living that way, the cross is just foolishness to them. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, meaning the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world cannot lead you, will not lead you to God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message of the cross preached to save those who believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It pleased God. It pleased God. It pleases God for you to believe in the cross and the resurrection. It pleases God that you believe that He is stronger and greater than anything you have to face. It pleases Him. How many want to please God? Then the only way, see, without faith, it's sin. The only way we can please God is, Lord, you're bigger than this. Lord, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to handle this, but God, you do. So I'm not going to worry about it, but Lord, you give me the wisdom. You give me the understanding. You lead me step by step on what I need to do. And He will. And it won't come because He's given you a new book. although he could. It won't come because you've seen angels, although it could happen. It won't come because you've had a prophet prophesy over you, or it could come. But it'll come just as you do natural things, and God will lead you in natural processes. And when you're all done, you say, wow, that was God, because I never would have thought to do that on my own. It doesn't come with flashing lights and sirens. It comes because you're yielded to God, and he leads you through the process. See, to believe on the cross is to trust someone else for your salvation. To believe on the cross is to submit yourself to God, whom you cannot see or touch. This is why the world thinks we're crazy. You know, they always say, show me God. You know, you have these people, I'll give you $1 million if you can prove a miracle. You've got a family right back here. We should be paid $1 million. She has before and after x-rays. Her ankle broken, and they took an x-ray afterwards, and it's totally healed. Her son, she's a double millionaire. Her son shattered his ankle. They took an x-ray and said, man, we can't even put pins in it. We don't know if it's ever going to be natural. And then God comes in, moves, heals his ankle. They've got before and after pictures. But, you know, if you don't believe in miracles, you're not going to be convinced by x-rays. You say, show me God, but if they show you God, you still won't believe. Why? Because you stumble at the cross. You stumble that there's anything supernatural. Your faith is limited to what you can see, smell, hear, touch, taste. And your faith is limited by those five physical senses. And anything you can't explain away, you just simply choose to not believe in. So you don't believe in miracles. You don't believe that God can help your situation because you're unique. No, let me tell you something. God is unique. Yes. You are, and me, we're common. We're clay. And God formed us and breathed life into us and made clay a living being. Breathed a soul into us. We're different. We from the earth, but God, he's unique. And he can still breathe into clay. Amen. Yeah. See, salvation is a gift to be received. It's not a prize to be earned. Jesus has paid it all, even our penalty of death for the sins that we have committed. There is nothing left for us to do except believe the good news. I'm going to repeat that. There is nothing else for us to do except to believe the good news. That's our work, to believe. Because you got to overcome all the doubt. You got to overcome all the fear. You've got to overcome all the things that are opposing you. But you have to believe and choose, I'm going to believe God. See, Paul's message of the cross is referring to the fact that salvation cannot be earned. It's a gift. And this makes no sense to unbelievers. It takes a special revelation. I'll close with this because I want you to catch this. It takes a special revelation to understand salvation by grace through faith. And most of you are here, I want to build you up. Most of you are here because God has given you a revelation of his grace through faith unto salvation. Now think about that. Well, I never hear anything from God. God gave you a revelation. That's why you're a believer. That's why you're a Christian. That's why you're different than a lot of the people that you're around all the time, because you are different because God has made you in his image. And God has given you that special revelation. Because if I would ask you, do you believe God can do this? Everyone in this room I know would say, I believe God can do it. Well, you have to have a revelation from God to know that. That's not a natural thing. Natural wisdom will not lead you to that conclusion. Natural wisdom, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket and there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, yeah, there is. If my people would pray and humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. See, for the sinner, oh, that can't happen. You don't believe the cross. They don't believe in the power of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 2:14, a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I want you to know, just like Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the Spirit of God's talking to you. The Spirit of God is revealing to you. this morning and in the past, he's revealed to you that because you are a Christian, he has revealed to you something that the world cannot receive. Don't be ashamed about what God's revealed to you. I'm not ashamed of the message of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God to set men free. Isn't that awesome? See, this is why, because these things are spiritually discerned and they don't come through the wisdom of this world, this is why 1:22, Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Because I just can't believe. I just don't see how. I just don't understand. Give me a sign, Lord. Give me a sign. But you're not a Jew. You're not, and by Jew, I mean a religious Jew. I mean someone who's trapped in religion. Because religion is always asking for a sign. Lord, show me. Well, show me again. Well, show me again. Show me. We have miracles sitting in this congregation. Literally out and out miracles. We just had a new baby. And Luke is so cute. He's so precious. And sorry, Mom, but to me, this is a miracle. Maybe it's because I don't have children. I don't know. But when I see little kids, little babies like that, this is a miracle from God. I always go over and I look at their hands. Have you ever really looked at their hands? They've got fingernails. They pop out of the womb. I mean, just they got hair, fingernails, toenails. They got joints in them. There's no assembly required except emotional. And I'm just amazed. Now, they just need software upgrades all the time. But I am just amazed. This kid's complete. Now, they say, well, that's just a natural process. Oh, to me, it's a miracle. This is an awesome wonder that we have in our midst. But if that were the only miracle that we would have, I would still believe in God. Because life is not an accident. God created you for one purpose. To know him. Just to know him. He created you to have fellowship with him. Isn't our God good? Man, he loves us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we know. This is the God who has the power of resurrection in him. Amen. Stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He can turn you around. He can break your chains. He can break the things holding back your families. He can break the things over our community that need to be broken. He can break things over our nation that need to be torn down. He can turn the world around if only we would believe. Believe in the power of the cross, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father God, we come before you. We thank you, God. You, Jesus, you're our Savior. You're our Savior, Lord. You're the one who has come and redeemed us and forgiven us of every sin. You're the one that was made to be sick with our sickness. You're the one, God, that took our grief, took our torment, took our fear. You are the one, Jesus, that bore all of these things on yourself on the cross, and you bore them away from us. And you took them to hell to receive the punishment. And Father, you raised Jesus by your glory, by your goodness, by your love, by your mercy, by your grace, by your power. You have overcome death. Death no longer holds us. Death no longer is an unconquered enemy. But God, you and your grace, you and your wisdom have set us free. Father, we thank you for this love. We thank you, God, that you are revealing to us who you are through the cross and the power of resurrection. You're revealing your love and your strength to us who believe. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.